It's 7 minutes after one, and you're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 WILL. Good afternoon. I'm Jay Pearson for Celeste Quinn today. It's a Talk to the Candidate program. This is your chance to call and talk to the candidates. We in the media have our opportunities to stage various forums and debates. Quite often, it's rather difficult for members of the listening public to get their questions through to candidates in election time, and we appreciate candidates, including our guest today, Tim Johnson, state representative in the 104th District, for providing the time for that. And between now and about 1:50, we will welcome your telephone calls. The telephone numbers are 333-9455, that's 333-WILL in Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free outside the immediate calling area at 1-800-222-9455, 1-800-222-WILL. Representative Johnson, welcome.
Well, I'm glad to be here, Jay.
You have served the 104th District since 1976, so I guess that makes you're in your 11th term, running
Correct.
For the 12th?
I've served the 104th District since reapportionment. I've served over the course of three different redistricting, so to speak, in the course That's of right. that time, Champaign, Ford, Douglas, Moultrie, Iroquois, and Vermilion County. So I've, one time or another, represented most of East Central Illinois.
And right now, the current definition of the 104th District, and thanks for pointing that out, because it does get rather confusing sometimes. Everything changed not that long ago, and so now you're southeastern Ford County, eastern and central Champaign County, western and central Douglas County. The line goes somewhere down Champaign. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but it's
with an oversimplification, everything east of Ray Street in Urbana and everything north of University in Champaign.
Okay, there you go.
And then various parts of the rural areas, substantial parts of the rural areas, and most of Douglas and a substantial part of Ford County.
And if you were listening or watching on Channel 12 last Thursday, you were part of the Candidates Forum of the Talking Point program, mm-hmm. along with Michael Ferrix, who is the Democrat challenger, and he will be on the Afternoon Magazine by way of mention on October the 1st, and David Wood Jr., the Libertarian candidate. That program was also broadcast on AM 580 Thursday night and again Saturday afternoon. But now is your chance to pose the questions once again. There were some questions from callers in that program, but now it's a program with Tim Johnson here to talk about his candidacy and answer your questions. So
I have no prearranged phone calls to call and pat me on the back, so I'm here to respond to the people.
333-9455 and 1-800-222-9455. Well, I suppose the way to begin the program would be to ask you if you'd like to take a couple of moments and kind of outline your platform for re-election.
I would suppose that my platform for re-election is somewhat similar to what it's been for a number of years now, and that is a simple pledge to continue the service that I've undertaken over the course of these last 11 terms. Changing times require changing issues and changing platforms. As we've progressed more into the latter part of the century, fiscal needs being what they are, the emphasis appropriately on education being what it is, the overwhelmingly predominant issue in the rest of this decade, and as far as my service is concerned, is education needs, specifically higher education and elementary and secondary education, and the source of funding for those needs, Jay. It's my own feeling, and my voting record has supported this feeling, that the real estate tax is a lousy way to fund education and various other needs. The income tax is a much fairer way. We were on the threshold a year and a half ago of having been able to pass a bill to that effect. We fell short in the Senate, and so our effort is going to be at a major level and in a major way to intensify those efforts. I've also been a leader, I believe, observers would tell you, in the area of criminal law and civil law reforms, specifically in the area of criminal sentencing and DUI laws. I'm also vitally concerned about agriculture, new markets in era, or at least a time of declining prices, environmental concerns, and specific, everyday, nitty-gritty, non-headline-grabbing, but nonetheless real issues that affect the people of these three counties.
Meat and potatoes.
Now, you're an attorney. Meat and potatoes, yes. And the public aid check that didn't get there on time, the road that needs to be fixed, the license that wasn't issued on time to a hairdresser, the scholarship that was bollocksed up in the system at the University of Illinois. Those are some of the specific nitty-gritty meat and potatoes issues we face.
You're an attorney by trade.
Correct.
Right. Let's talk about gun control issues for a moment, if we might,
mm-hmm.
Because that's a topic mm-hmm. that seems to perennially come up mm-hmm. In the legislature. Some viewpoints on that, individual ownership of handguns, any kinds of ideas right now that you're trying to push?
I believe that at least a significant portion of Secretary Ryan's initiative is well-placed in terms of use firearms in the commission of offenses. We've made strides in that area. We've got a ways to go. I believe fundamentally in the right to bear arms, and I'm not going to support legislation that divests a citizen of the right to own a firearm. But I think that George Ryan has taken some major initiatives, some of which I agree with and some of which I don't, that deal with the real issue, and that is the misuse of firearms in society today.
Mm-hmm. 333-9455 and 1-800-222-9455 if you'd like to get on. We usually start getting phone calls about 10 or 15 minutes into the program, and then they stack up toward the end. So if you want to get on the telephones right now, it'd be a good time because some lines are open. You won't miss out. State Representative Tim Johnson is the guest. I suppose we should, since the topic of conversation these days is everything concerning the presidency. It's not really a local issue. I don't want to take a lot of time with it because, you know, we are here to talk about your reelection campaign. But if you have any thoughts or ideas, or if you've heard anything, you know, interesting from some constituents on this, I don't know how much it affects the this level.
Maybe well, it doesn't. Of, we don't have any role in that process
exactly.
at all. And I guess if I've learned nothing else over these many years in government, I've learned to be silent in areas that I don't have an obligation to make decisions in.
Yeah.
I will tell you that as I get around the district, and I do that on a regular basis and make my calls around the district, it's probably the most talked about subject matter among the people of this area, and I suppose the same thing's true all around the country, of anything else. And as much as any issue that I've seen presented to me or indirectly presented to me at some time. I presume if I were Congressman Ewing, I'd be getting 20 times as many contacts on,
yeah.
On the issue. I think the opinions range from the thought that that it's an overblown matter that's strictly personal on the one extreme to the president should be impeached on the other, and some shades of gray in between. I have my own personal opinions, but I think those will just simply remain personal at this point and let the public decide.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk some more about your agenda. I've seen the phone ring a couple of times. I don't know if we're having a problem. Our technical director just went in the other room to see what's up. It was ringing and went away.
Let me say, Jay, that this, and I don't mean to flatter you unduly,
yeah.
but it's true. This show is a really a pleasure to be on. This one and the TV show as well. There aren't any prearranged phone calls by me here or by anybody else. When anybody else is on, there's not going to be. And people really care who call in and are very educated on the issues, and I appreciate that kind of a forum.
Well, I'll take that as a compliment on behalf of the listeners to the program. Thank you very much.
It's a compliment to the station,
and,
too.
Well, thank you. We'll take that. And again, if you want to call in, go ahead, 333-9455, 1-800-222-9455. Otherwise, we'll continue talking about your legislative agenda as we go up. Now, of course, the veto session is coming up in November. What are the issues that are on the docket this year?
Well, in the veto session, at least in the first instance, our job is to go back for 2 weeks mm-hmm. With 1 week in between and act on the governor's vetoes in the House the first week and those that come over that are approved or not approved in the Senate in the second week we're there, and various amendatory vetoes that the governor executed over the course of the summer. Now, as a practical matter, usually during the veto session, other issues arise as well.
Right.
Supplementary appropriations matters, as well as some other issues that come to the fore. So at this point, all I'm expecting and all I can anticipate is to be able to go act on vetoes and mandatory vetoes and go home. But my expectation and, frankly, my hope in some areas that we'll be able to expand that domain into areas that need to be acted on before next year.
Well, maybe we can talk about some of those in a moment. We do have a caller on line one. Let's go to line one. You're on the air with Representative Johnson.
Hello. Might as well give you a hot button, hard to deal with one. What are you doing about mega hog farms?
That's a good call, good question. Let me summarize the best I can what's happened so far. I think that was probably the most controversial issue that's faced Illinois agriculture for many, many years, and it came to the fore this year in various contexts. There was legislation passed or introduced in the form of House Bill 3151, which is the Livestock Management Facilities Act, that had had and contained provisions for livestock waste lagoon design, mandatory inspections by the Department of Agriculture, waste management by a certified livestock manager, increased setbacks from residential areas, and various forms of financial responsibility. That was signed into law as Public Act 89-456. Subsequent to that, Speaker Madigan, and I'm not sure what his interest in this issue is, and I'll have to assume the best, although many people think it's simply to cause embarrassing roll calls, introduced another bill in the form of House Bill 3165 that was denominated a Livestock Facilities Control Bill. But the problem with the bill was that its breadth was such that it would have covered a large number of, if not all, Illinois hog farmers. And there was substantial opposition from within his own party and within the Republican minority to this bill. I agree it is a huge problem that needs to be addressed. I have been very vocal about that and very supportive of the efforts to try to address the problem. I don't think we want to adopt the approach that Speaker Madigan took, because the practical effect of that would have been to have shut down or potentially shut down a large number of the hog operations of individual, in-state, long-time hog farmers. So I think we're looking for some sort of a intermediate approach. The bill that did pass, and I don't mean to spend all my time talking because you're the questioner and it's a good question, in public form of Public Act 89-456, is one that goes a long ways towards addressing the issue. But we certainly have some ways to go, and working with the Environmental Council, with the Farm Bureau, the pork producers, and others, I hope we come up with a solution next spring that'll be workable.
Well, a friend of mine who lives in Peoria and recently retired from USDA over there was originally from Denmark, and he says that he was over there and he visited big hog facilities over there, which from the exterior you can't detect them at all, but they do it very, very well over there, and they know exactly how to manage them. And the Danish hams are so competitive with ours in price.
Yes.
So maybe you people should consider seeing what other people have done.
That's a very good point. Very, very good point. I wasn't aware of that specific situation, but that's frankly the reason I'm in office and on this show, is to listen to ideas like yours. So if you can fill me in on some details, I'd be more than happy to pursue it, because it's an issue that needs to be pursued. I mean, there are civil laws now, long-time common law that exists with respect to remedies that individual landowners have. The legislative scenario is somewhat checkerboard, but we may very well and probably will want to look at what other states and other countries are doing to try to address the issue. I wasn't aware of the situation in Denmark, but you're right about Danish pork.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you much for the call. All right, 333-9455 and toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Those are the telephone numbers. Yeah, if you could get a good example of something that's working, if it's, something that you don't smell, and you know, you really can't tell from the outside. I suppose that would be a lot more palatable and acceptable to to a lot of the folks who, who have problems with the large scale livestock operations. And I guess part of the discussion is centered around whether it's going to need to be a state control or a local control, or how much state control is there going to have to be versus local siting control. You get into a lot of these kinds of issues. Some say it should be a county-by-county decision. County boards should have the ultimate decision on the siting.
That's why I believe Representative Winkle's approach. I think the concern on the part of the agricultural community is the so-called foot in the door, that if we establish the ability of the state to regulate too closely, that we'll soon have the state running the entire hog operation for at least micromanaging it for the state, and individual hog farmers and farmers generally in Illinois don't want that to happen, and I don't either. I also don't want my air and my streams polluted, and I think we've got to reach for the appropriate solution, and I'm still open-minded as to what that is.
All right. Well, we're here to take phone calls today, so let's go back to line one again. We have another caller. You're on the air with Representative Johnson.
Hi. I wanted to make a comment. You were talking about prearranged phone calls, and you have had other candidates on in the last few weeks, and phone calls have come in that could easily be identified as supporters or being prearranged or whatever. And I just wanted to make the comment that I really feel like that violates the philosophy of AM 580.
I agree.
I mean, it's just, this is not what the station is
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And I can tell you, and you can put city and pentothal in my veins here, that with respect to this show, as well as any of my opponents that are here on AM 580, I will play no part in that and have had nothing to do with that. And I'm certain that at least in my instance here and with respect to any of my supporters, that will not happen, because it's absolutely antithetical to the whole purpose of this show.
I appreciate that very, very much. And if David Inge or whomever could speak to the candidates and let the other candidates know that this audience does not appreciate that. I mean, I know they can't do anything about it, but...
Oh, of course they can. When I was on the air the other night on television, it was obvious to me that at least three or four instances there were specific questions from my opponent's camp specifically directed to me, and I'm quite certain that all of those calls were prearranged through the agreement of the candidate, and all the candidate has to say is, don't do it.
Right.
It's not too hard to identify a call when somebody calls in and says, Mr. Johnson, you've taken a position on such and such and such and such and this bill and this and that. And I mean, the average citizen doesn't just, for the most part, on those specific issues that are hot-button issues in the campaign, doesn't come up with those as a AM 580 or WLL-TV call-in. Those aren't too hard to spot.
Right, I agree. What I'm saying is that David Inge or Dan Simeone or whomever, they can't screen those calls.
Correct.
But the candidates certainly can speak to their supporters and say, don't
do correct.
This.
That's absolutely
right.
Correct.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. And that's a really good point. Yeah. I know during the show the other evening, and I know my opponent or both are new at the process, and perhaps think that's the appropriate way to do things, and I'm not going to be critical. But it was clear to me in some of the calls, and I think I handled them appropriately, that that they were attempting to use this forum as a political forum, and it's not. This is an issue-oriented matter.
That speaks to a large part of the philosophy of the radio station, and as program director, I would have to say that, and thank you much to the caller for realizing that we don't screen telephone calls, and we're not about to screen phone calls. We trust that those who will call in will use their intelligence, and we don't want to insult the intelligence of our audience by having to even really talk that much about the issue, because I think, as you said, Representative, most people can see, you know, when something is being set up. Unfortunately, that happens. That is something that we don't want to get into screening telephone calls.
Well, that's what the First Amendment's all about, so I realize we can do so much.
We want to leave this as an open forum for discussion, and if some choose to use it that way, that happens.
I guess we can't control that completely.
Yeah. Let's go to the telephones again, and hi, you're on the air with the representative. Go ahead, please.
Hello. I am actually one of the representative's opponents. My name is Michael Frericks, and I was calling to make issue of the suggestion that I invited callers with pre-screened questions, because personally I'm offended at that accusation because I did no such thing. And he has said that there were certain questions that he feels were pre-screened, and I was wondering what those were.
Well, there were at least two or three questions that were specifically directed to issues in the election. Term limits, for one, and my length of service in the General Assembly. And I'd have to go back over the text, but there are at least three or four phone calls that came in during that time that one or the other, the candidates or their supporters, were obviously whether the candidates did it or not, or whether the campaign did it, it was clear to me, Mike, that those calls were directed towards me and were part of the political process.
And as the
moderator
you,
has just said,
that did not come from my camp. I specifically told all my active supporters that I was not sending out questions for them to ask. Now, I have not made term limits an issue in this campaign, and why you would suggest to the callers that came from me.
I didn't mention you specifically. I said there were two candidates on the air, and there were a number of questions that were directed specifically to my incumbency that were political questions. Now, whether it was your supporters or the other candidates, that's for you and he to determine, but it was obvious that that was the case.
Okay, is there another question you believe that I had someone call in for? Because quite frankly, to get on the air and to tell people that I or the opponent had something without any proof, when I specifically told my supporters not to, really does not set well with me.
I didn't say that you did. I said the campaigns, whomever was in charge of them, obviously had questions that were preordained and directed towards me. Now, whether those were your campaign or the other candidate's campaigns, I can't determine, but it's obvious in the questions.
Yes, and if you cannot determine, I don't appreciate the accusation.
Well, it's clear that those questions came from the campaigns and were political issues that have been raised throughout.
In all fairness, Mr. Ferrix, we appreciate your phone call. And what I want to do is I want to move on, because the main gist of the program is to let listeners call in. And Mr. Ferrix will be on October 1st and have a chance to say what he wants to say in the 50 minutes in the hour.
Yeah, I would invite anybody to watch a replay of the WILL TV and its simulcast, or at least a delayed simulcast on the radio, and listen to the questions that are called in. I didn't say now, and I'm not saying at any point that this candidate specifically asked them, but the campaigns were obviously directed towards calling in questions that were directed to me as an incumbent, and there were hot-button issues during the election.
And I would urge listeners, of course, obviously, for a sense of balance anyway in the campaign, listen in on October 1st, and we'll see what comes up on that program too. But I want to move on.
Well, I won't call in during on your show October 1st. I think if Mr. Ferrix and Mr. Wood have their forum, that should be their forum, and they're certainly entitled to respond to your questions any way they want. And it's certainly not my intention to interrupt their hour on the air with a political debate.
I just want to make it clear, I didn't want to cut anybody off here. I just want to move on with opening up the phone lines, which is the main intention of the program today. And 333-9455 is our number in Champaign-Urbana, and 1-800-222-9455 is the number outside. But no, I'm glad we got some discussion on it, but I think we can move on and go back to line number one again, and we have a caller on the line for Representative Johnson. Go ahead, please. Are they there? Nope. Okay. Well, we'll hang on then and see. Well, I think the phone got put on hold, actually. Let's try it now. Okay, there we go. Is caller on the line now?
I'm on line one.
Okay.
That correct?
Yeah, line one. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. My question is addressed to Mr. Johnson. I recently received a piece of what appears to be clearly campaign literature. It's a four-page, beautifully printed color brochure. And this is done with, I'm sure, state funds, because it says so, which means me, as a taxpayer. My question is, why did I even get it? I don't live in your district.
Where do you live?
In the 103rd.
Well, I can't vouch for why you did or didn't get it. It's interesting to me, in light of the previous call, that on September 13th, about 9 days ago, my opponent issued a press release that I got a call on yesterday from the Rantoul Press, indicating specifically what you've just indicated now. I can answer you the same way that I answered that news release on his part and the reporter who called me, and that is to tell you that for 22 years, it's been my attempt to try to inform the people of the district that I represent about issues that affect them. This particular publication dealt with, in a very non-political way, the budget for the state of Illinois, tax relief provisions in it, general state aid form funding, and specific projects in the area. It also dealt with the DUI law that we passed in Illinois and detailed that to some extent. We dealt with the Hope for the Children project, the Balloon Fest in Chanute, as well as tornado relief in Ogden, and also provided various numbers and addresses where people can communicate with me with respect to their problems. That, as you can, I assume, tell by its receipt, I submitted that to our staff in May for publication. That same publication was approved by the Democratic-controlled clerk of the House and by the Legislative Printing Unit, which is a nonpartisan organization. Not organization, it's a state entity. And then it goes in the backlog with the other 177 legislators who are trying to inform their constituents about what are going on. And then it was mailed to them, as we've done on an every day, or not every day, but every year basis, or nearly so, for the 22 years I've been in the legislature. I don't know how it got to if you're 103rd district. That was certainly not our intention, but our intention is to let people know that we're available, what numbers they can reach us at, both in Springfield and here, and to tell you what issues are going on, and also to solicit your opinion about other issues that are going on. So I hope...
Because all the things that you have just described as a text in here was not included. There are four nice big pictures of you and other Republicans taking up most of the room in the brochure.
Well, I'm looking
at
the
very little room for text.
I'm looking at the brochure now, and first of all, the amount of room devoted to pictures of me and quote other Republicans, although there's certainly Democrats in those pictures or independents, is one of the pictures has some Boy Scouts in it and the mayor of a little town. The other has a graphic display of Rantoul, and that the idea of being that we're working with small towns in terms of the Balloon Fest, and a vast majority of it is simply informational. It talks about the amount of the state budget, the personal income tax exemption, the senior circuit breaker program, the total amount of funding for education, and the amount that went up. Specifically in regard to the DUI bill, detailing that in regard to the Esworthy matter, talking about the town of Ogden and the tornado and the assistance we received, the Live and Learn program at the State Library, as well as the various other projects I've mentioned. The bill or the publication also has the number and address of our district offices and our Springfield offices so that people can communicate with us. And it was my intention, and it's always been my intention, as I say on the front of the update, to simply say, quote, "I hope the information in this newsletter is helpful. If you have any questions, my constituent service office stands ready to assist you, and it's an honor to serve your state representative." There's nothing political about it, nothing self-aggrandizing about it, and I have no apologies for letting people in my district know what's going on that affect their lives and to be able to solicit their opinions on things that affect them.
Okay, may I add one more comment?
Sure.
About the time that this mailing came, you were in my neighborhood personally.
Mm-hmm.
I saw your car in the parking lot. I live in a large apartment complex.
Mm-hmm. Where do you live?
Hassel Manor, and you have a unique license plate. I knew it was your car. And
well, I don't know if it's unique.
Hold on one moment, sir. When I came home from, I was on my way out to work, so I didn't see you personally, but I saw your car. When I came home that evening, your business card had been slipped under my door. Now, why are you soliciting in the 103rd district if you aren't just campaigning for other
Republicans? Wouldn't it be a little bit absurd on your part to accuse me of political campaigning if I were in another district, simply giving business cards of mine to people in the other district who can't even vote for me. Why would that be somehow self-aggrandizing to me? Was there also literature contained in your door that said vote for George Ryan or Rick Winkle or Stan Weaver?
Well,
or was it my business card?
Say that's what you were there for.
Well, it's obvious that I wasn't there for that.
I can't
if you'd had any other material other than my own, it would have been there. If I was in that area, I consider anything in East Central Illinois, seeing as how my letters and calls come almost as much from the 103rd district as the 104th, and I'm always responsive to those, I consider that all part of my obligation. We're obligated as Illinois legislators to represent everybody in Illinois. But if I went, I don't know how you identify my car, there's a number of legislative license plates in this area, Bill Black, Rick Winkle, Stan Weaver, Judy Myers, and a number of others. But I have no apologies. I don't draw the line when I go out and talk to people about issues and leave my business cards various places. I don't first ask, do you live in my district or not? And if they don't, I refuse to talk to them. And at the same time, I don't take campaign literature around in the 103rd district for Rick Winkle or Stan Weaver or Tom Ewing or George Ryan or anybody else. Did you receive something from me, from one of those people?
Only your card.
Well, what would that have to do with promoting other Republicans?
Because had I been home, you would have wanted to talk to me. And since I can't vote for you, your name will never appear on my ballot. It must have been, in my mind, so that you could talk about these other people.
If you can find anybody in your neighborhood or your apartment complex that I talked to that said that I was trying to promote any other candidate for any other office, I'd like to hear who it is. That absolutely is not the case.
Well,
I did not do that.
Over the air.
Well, that is not the case. And I can tell you that when I leave here today, or at least tomorrow, and I'm sure over the course of the next few days, I'll have an opportunity to be on South Prospect or South Neal or various other places that are technically in Rick Winkle and Stan Weaver's district. But I'm not going to refuse to talk to people in those areas simply because they're not technically on the right side of the line for me. So your comments, if I were really trying to politicize things, I would be passing out cards to people in my own district, and which I do. I mean, obviously I do that. Passing literature for other people, other Republican candidates with me. That isn't the case here, and your comments don't make any sense.
Let me just ask a question of the caller.
Okay.
Let me talk about the legislative updates. Do you receive these from other politicians, other office holders, on a regular basis? Do you ever get the mailings from your congressman or from your state senator?
From time to time, yes, but they're within my voting district.
Ah, okay.
Well, if you got a mailing on Hessel Manor, this legislative update, it must have been transferred from another address. It wouldn't have been specifically addressed to you.
I've been there 18 years, sir.
18 years, so it wouldn't have been forwarded from.
Well, if that's the case, it was misaddressed. And in any event, if you'd like me to refund the 32 cents that I sent something outside my district, even though you can't vote for me, I'd be more than happy to refund it.
No, what I'm saying is, if this is an example of what the taxpayers are paying for, just so you can spread your name all over the place and tout other Republican candidates whom you favor, and this little brochure is full of them. We got Ewing in there. We got Jim Ryan.
In the legislative update?
Where's Tom Ewing? I'm looking at it. I don't see Tom Ewing.
All right. I'm sorry. We got George Ryan, Jim Ryan. All I see is you. It goes on.
Let me ask a question about the legislative update, and I'm not coming down on either side. I'm just kind of curious. Once a candidate, this is just something that I think about from time to time. Once a candidate announces for re-election, and their party is putting together a slate for re-election, and Representative, you might answer this question too, if you want to. Isn't just about everything that is done? By that lawmaker between the time they announce for re-election and the primary, and then considering they're renominated, the primary and the general election, isn't just about anything that gets done. Couldn't that be considered political in some nature?
I suppose if you ever respond to a constituent inquiry or get their hairdresser's license to them earlier than the bureaucracy lets them, that makes them more likely to vote for you than if you didn't. As far as George Ryan's mention in this publication, not only do I take no apologies for it, I want to thank George Ryan, and everybody else should too, in a completely nonpartisan way, for what he did for the village of Ogden. As you know, about a fourth or more of that town was destroyed by a tragic tornado, including the Rose Library, which is a 77-year-old institution. We managed in a unique way, through Secretary Ryan's intervention, to be able to get a $500,000 grant through the Live and Learn program and another $100,000 from FEMA to be able to rebuild a decimated area that was virtually destroyed by a tornado. And when George Ryan came to be honored by Mayor Ridener and the Boy Scouts and others in Ogden, they took a picture. For you to somehow suggest that George Ryan's intervention to help tornado victims is political is insulting to me. It's insulting to the village of Ogden. It's insulting to Secretary Ryan.
Mr. Johnson, any of this information could have been gleaned from our local newspapers. We all already know this. I am questioning the use of taxpayers' funds in a glossy brochure to tell us what we already know.
Well, maybe you know, but a good many people are not aware of what the Live and Learn program is. They're not aware of the availability of FEMA, and they're not aware of what happened with respect to the Rose Library. Now, if you want me to sit here mutely and never tell you anything or tell the citizens anything that the state of Illinois has done or is doing, or to solicit input, or to be able to educate the citizens, maybe you're more erudite than everybody around you. But I doubt seriously if everybody knew what the amount of the budget was, that they knew about the senior citizen circuit breaker program or its availability, or the increase in the personal income tax exemption, or this DUI law that we passed. We want people to know what state government is doing. Maybe you read every line on the internet and on the television and newspaper and radio and know all these things, and I congratulate you if you do. But I don't. I don't know everything that's going on in Washington, and I'm informed by when Tom Ewing sends out his mailings to me. And I'm not going to stop educating people and telling people about what state government has to offer of what we've done just because you don't like it.
Thank you very much for the call. 333-9455 and 1-800-222-9455 are our numbers in Champaign-Urbana and outside of the area.
I won't say, and I clearly am not saying, that this call was instigated by any of my opponents. I will say, just in juxtaposition, that on September 13th, 1998, a press release was issued by my opponent indicating Representative Johnson sends out, and the word was a glossy four-page publication, and then said basically what the caller just said in terms of blasting me in this press release. Now, I'm not saying this caller was instigated again by my opponent, but either he and or this caller are unaware of what the function of a state legislator is. And if we can't educate people, if we can't tell them what we're doing, and we can't solicit their opinions about what we can do better and let them know how we're available, then I don't know what we can do.
The issue of these kinds of mailings comes up every election.
And, just as sure as the sun comes up in the east, every incumbent legislator who tries to do anything with respect to forming their constituents is criticized, and that's just a par for the course.
Some call it the inherent incumbent's advantage in an election, and quite honestly, I guess you'd have to agree that, I would hope that you would agree that there are some advantages
absolutely.
To being an incumbent that you get in the way of publicity.
Absolutely. There are clearly advantages to being an incumbent. In fact, one of my opponents and I discussed that when I agreed to his voluntary spending limit. I indicated to him in a person-to-person conversation, and he was receptive to that, that you realize there are certain advantages that incumbent have. And it's not an abuse. It's just a fact that when you're in office and you're voting on issues and you're informing people, that there's going to be an inherent advantage that you have in that regard. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go crawl in a hole because I'm an incumbent.
Yeah. Sometimes I think discussions about these kinds of things take away from some of the other issues that may be more important in an election. Perhaps if this is going to be a chronic problem, and it's a chronic problem to enough people, they might band together and change legislation to change the budgets for putting these out, if that's a problem.
I've been doing this now for 22 years, and I can remember three complaints, and two of them have been in the last 2 days. Uh-huh. So I don't think it's something that people are upset about. As a matter of fact, nearly everybody is supportive of the effort on our part in a nonpartisan, non-political way to try to get our record of service as well as issues before the people. I send out a questionnaire periodically, too, which is real helpful to me in terms of my votes. That's the reason I voted for education reform, in addition to the fact that I'm for it, is because I determined from that questionnaire that we mailed out that a vast majority of people in this area want real estate property tax relief, and they want more money for education. So it helps.
We have one more phone call on the line, and we have time just to take this one more phone call. So let's go ahead and do it. It's on line two, and you're on the air with a representative. Go ahead, please.
Me? Tim Johnson?
Yeah. That's okay. You're on the air. Go ahead.
I agree with the lady that just called. I don't know your opponent, but I really kind of resent taxpayers having to pay. I got one of these myself. And it's a slick page. It has no Democrats in it that I can see. It does have Dan Ryan. It has it's totally political. And for you to say that when this thing comes out, and it does come out every year, not this one. Last year it was a phone book. You know, and I'm paying for that.
A phone book.
And if you're talking,
what do you mean? What do you mean a phone book?
If you need to call family services and all this.
Oh yeah, we provide a hotline number where people can call 800 numbers for various state services.
It's stuff you can get in the phone book.
Pardon me?
It's stuff you can get in the phone book, and you put it out you put things like that out every election time, and then you say, "Well, this is not political. I'm just informing people." No, you're campaigning and you're using my money.
We provide the 800 numbers that provide for child abuse numbers and a variety of numbers that DECA, state grants, and otherwise that can't be reached through the phone book. Most of which can't. Let me finish. Every year, election years, non-election years, and otherwise, simply because it's my obligation as a state legislator to let people know where they can go to obtain help for their problems. As I said before, I could say nothing. I could do nothing with respect to informing people. Let me finish. You ask a question, and I'm trying to finish the answer if I can.
Yeah,
the publication you referred to as a picture of several Boy Scouts and my son, although he's not identified as such. The hotline number publication that you talked about has about probably 30 or 40 different 800 numbers that people can call from elder abuse, I believe, to disaster assistance, to general business inquiries, small business loans, and that sort of thing. I haven't got a copy in front of me. And that's our obligation, is to inform people about that. Now, if you're offended that you're paying for something that informs people about where they can go to get state services, then I guess you're just going to have to be offended. But I certainly don't have any apologies for it.
It's not that I'm offended. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not associated with your opponent. I don't even know who he is.
I believe that.
But I do resent tax. It's a form of hypocrisy. Taxpayers paying for a candidate, and this is to say that it's an informative. It's got five pictures of you. It's got.
No, it doesn't. Well, that's all right. You're getting into minutiae here. The point is
in very small, microscopic type, it says paid for by what says by approval of the state of Illinois. That means it's paid for, and this doesn't include the postage. And I estimate, since I've been involved in advertising, I estimate it costs about $10,000.
We're going to run out of time here. Let me thank you very much for calling in.
Let me just conclude in that regard. Okay. Every legislator in the state, every congressman, who's trying to be responsible about informing their constituents about where they can go for help and what issues face them, try to come up with publications. Some of them are glitzy, and some of them are simply informative. This one is simply informative, as my hotline numbers publication is, and the sole intention of those publications is to let people know what their government's doing for them and what it can do in the future.
Now, you're allocated by the state of Illinois a budget
Correct.
For this, for
Correct.
Communication back to the district and the like.
So and his figures are obviously grossly distorted. Well, they're not anywhere near that, but regardless of that.
Regardless of that, and perhaps... If the problem is with the budget for this, you know, I would suppose if something were changed along those lines, then you know. I don't know who would change it except the legislature, and I don't know that you're going to vote yourselves out of being able to communicate or take it.
You know, we answer inquiries all the time. So, we had a petition the other day from people in Yankee Ridge subdivision who were concerned about the location of agricultural facilities near their subdivision. I'm writing a letter back to them, and that's paid for by the taxpayers because they wrote me as their legislator. If I have to stop doing that and I have to stop communicating with people, I might just well quit the job.
Representative Johnson, thank you very much for being with us today.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I, notwithstanding the somewhat critical nature of the last call, I appreciate their input, and I respect it, even if I respectfully disagree with it.
And Tim Johnson is the state representative in the 104th District, the Republican, who is running for re-election, the upcoming election. Michael Frericks, the Democrat challenger, will be on the Afternoon Magazine October the 1st. Tomorrow on the program, appropriately enough, in this campaign season, Illinois campaign finance reform, Professor Paul Quirk, Department of Political Science in the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at University of Illinois, will be in studio, and Professor Kent Redfield will also be on the line with us tomorrow. And Craig Cohen will be the host.